Hi, Sports Jam with Doug Doyle is celebrating 350 episodes by airing some of the Hall of Fame editions of the show. It's also Women's History Month. My guest in February of 2014 was four-time Olympian Joetta Clark Diggs, a New Jersey Hall of Fame member who had a famous father, the late Joe Clark, who was the principal of Eastside High School in Paterson, New Jersey, and was also the subject of the 1989 film Lean on Me, starring Morgan Freeman. I hope you enjoy the podcast with the inspirational Joetta Clark Diggs. This is Sports Jam. I'm Doug Doyle. My guest tonight is one of the most famous track stars ever. And she's a four-time Olympian. Joetta Clark Diggs is our guest this evening. She's out with a new book. We'll talk to her about it. Let's head now to the Words Bookstore in Maplewood and meet our guest. Joetta, great to see you.
Nice to see you too, Doug, and thank you for that introduction.
You've been giving back to your community for such a long time. Where did that all start for you?
I think being a giver came from my parents, who often told me, to give back, and to whom much is given, much is required. So I understand that, and I've just been able to use my platform of athletics to be a businesswoman and also to use that to help kids and families in the community, be it by fitness, be it by motivational speaking, be it with my book. My mission in life is to make sure that I make this place a better place than what it was when I was here.
You mentioned your parents and what a first family, considered the first family of track and field when it comes to middle distance. We'll talk about that as well, but let's talk about growing up here in New Jersey. You know, everybody knows your famous father, Joe Clark, the subject of the movie Lean on Me. What was it like growing up in the Clark household in the day?
Well, in the day, it was back in the 60s, and it was really great to have two great parents. My mother's name is Jetta, and right, my father's Dr. Joe Clark, and they taught us to be kind, to be patient, to be intelligent, and I think that when you're growing up as a kid, you don't understand that, but as I got older, I realized the very importance of what they taught me and believing in ourselves, and the most important thing they said was to be kind to people, because you never know what bridge you have to cross over again.
And it's nice the fact that you take, you know, things from both of your parents. Your name comes from both of your parents.
It does. My mother's name is Jetta. My father's name is Joe. So they put it together and they got Joetta. And I believe in family staying together. So that's why when I do my foundation work and my speaking, I make sure that I talk to parents about the importance of being a parent as opposed to just being a friend and letting your kids just do whatever they want to do. You have to have ground rules, and we had ground rules in the family, and we had a lot of love and a lot of fun in the family as well. And I think that the foundation I got from them, Doug, enabled me to put together the foundation work in my speaking engagements after I retired from track and field.
That foundation, when it comes to track and field, this family, your sister, your brother's wife, why was running so easy for all of you? And when I say easy, I know the work that had to go in, but obviously there was something about this Clark family that really, you know, captured running.
Well, it was very simple. I liked doing many sports, and back in my day, we didn't have the options of soccer and lacrosse and field hockey as much. So track and field, basketball, tennis were the sports that I used. And I went to Columbia High School, so we had very nice teams there. But I excelled in running. I like getting the medals. I like beating the boys. The Star Ledger would always write about me in the paper. So that's where I stayed. And as I went through college, graduated from the University of Tennessee, and doing everything I did in college, I thought that I made the right decision.
Everything she did in college, she acts like it's just a normal career, just an unbelievable 9 national championships at the University of Tennessee. When you think about running at Tennessee, what comes to your mind first?
The first thing that comes to my mind is that when I left New Jersey and went to Tennessee, it was the first time that I saw women in charge. They had a women athletic director, women coaches, and I was able to see that women could be in charge and win. And that's what I learned from being in Tennessee, is that women can win, you can be in charge, you can run, be in the sports industry. And so when I left school and decided to get into the sports industry, I learned from the best. I had Terry Crawford. I obviously had my mother as well. I had Pat Head Summit, Gloria Ray, Joan Cronin. These are all women that were in the sports industry, Debbie Jennings, and I just learned from them. And they were tenacious. They understood the dynamics of what it took to be a woman in the sports industry. And as I got older, I learned from them and applied some of that work to what I do.
I imagine they have to be awful proud of Joetta Clark Diggs right now. Do you get a chance to talk to any of them?
I do. I was inducted into the UT, University of Tennessee Hall of Fame, and I talk to my high school coach all the time, Terry Crawford. And I also stay in touch with my Lynn Clayback, and my college coach was Terry Crawford. And it's amazing that when it's been over 40 years or so, and I still talk to all of them, and it's just a blessing and testament that they're still here, and they smile when they see that I'm getting inducted to the USA Track and Field Hall of Fame, to my College Hall of Fame, and to the Hall of Fame in New Jersey.
And our next honoree, Joetta Clark Diggs, will be inducted by her blood, her family.
I'm JJ, this is Hazel, my younger sister. I am here today to introduce my sister, Joetta Clark Diggs. She competed in the Murals Games for 25 years in a row. That she competed in 20 American championships. I'm not talking about the field day run in the park. I'm talking about American championships where she won over half of those. That's absolutely amazing. Then I said, what do I want?
Joetta is very, very tough, and I should know firsthand. As a little girl, 15 years younger than her, my father would put me on the train and take me to the Millrose Games every year. And I would hang over the balcony, and I thought I was giving her all my power. I would close my eyes and say, give Joetta all my power to win. And I swore she was winning because of me.
2009, you were inducted into the USA Track and Field Hall of Fame. 2013, New Jersey Hall of Fame. What did entering into the Hall of Fame Grover Cleveland, Governor Kane, a number of people did it mean anything to be a part of that class going in?
It did, because it was a diverse group, and I think that when you look at the names that were on the panel that got in, they were phenomenal people: Ray Chambers, Dionne Warwick, Whitney Houston, Bobby Brown. It was just a myriad of great people, and we do a lot of great work in New Jersey, and even though some of them may not live here now, wherever we go, New Jersey is in that blood. And so to be inducted that day, to have my family alive and present, to be alive here as well, that was a really great thing, Doug. And I think that my exciting moment was when my daughter interviewed Buzz Aldrin. She knows him from, of course, Buzz Lightyear, from The Astronaut, from The Transformers. So she had an opportunity to interview him on the red carpet. So for me, that was something that was exciting, to have my daughter there being part of the evening.
Does she want to run?
Well, at this point, she's doing a lot of different activities, and she does have some of the Clark blood in her, so she may be a runner, but right now she's doing basketball, and she long jumps, and she plays tennis and golf. So those are the things that she's doing right now. And I try and tell parents that when you have children, they have to find their way. You introduce the different opportunities to them and let them find their way. And so often parents are frustrated that they didn't achieve greatness in a certain sport or academic area, and they force their child to do that. So I'm being mindful not to do that.
Joetta Clark Diggs did achieve greatness in her sport, a four-time U.S. Olympian, 1988, 1992, 1996, and 2000. How were you able to continually excel when there's a sport where injuries, timing, training, so many factors could come into play? How were you able to have such a long, wonderful career?
I guess it's in my genes. I was given this body to do something with, and track and field is what I took. Also, I enjoyed what I was doing. In 1988 and 92, you have to remember the sport was a little bit different than it is now. There was not much money involved at all, so I was not doing it for the money. I was doing it for the pure essence of the sport. But as I got older and the money came into play, I liked making a living at track and field, so I was able to do that with the great sponsors that I had, from Foot Locker to Nike to Ray-Bans. They were all very supportive of my career and enabled me to stay around a lot longer. But I was really blessed with my ability to stay healthy. And not many people can do that and stay healthy and still be able to run, you know, at the age of 38 with the younger people.
When was the first time that Joetta Clark Diggs, running, it's fun, or I can do it well? I mean, how young were you?
I started running in camps at Essex County Park Commission in Newark, and I was a sprinter. And that's when I realized, at age 8 or 9, I was beating all the boys. And then that was a real cool thing to do, too. And, over the years, I look at what I did athletically, and I think that all the people that I did beat and the people that beat me, we were all like, they all made me strive to do greater things. And so running was a way for me to leave New Jersey, leave this my home and go to college. It was a way for me to see the world. I traveled all over the world for free. We call it the lifestyles of the rich and shameless. We stayed in the great hotels. We took helicopters from Nice into Monte Carlo, and it was a really great experience. But with that said, I knew there would be a transition. So my idea was to get myself ready for life after sports, and I did.
You did, and a lot of athletes don't think of that, when they're going through it. You graduated with a public relations degree, so you really prepared yourself for life after athletics, even though your athletic career goes much longer than many do. I want to know, what did the boys say? What kind of relationship did you have with the boys when you were younger and you were beating them? Were they mean to you, or did they eventually come to respect you?
You know, it was a respect thing. They tried to beat me. And I think my relationship with boys was healthy because I didn't have to go with any of them. They liked being around me. I was one of the guys, and I heard all the stories. They talked about everybody else, all the girls. So I felt really comfortable around the guys, and we had a really good relationship. And as I got older, you know, they got older, and they would be able to beat me because once you get in high school and stuff, they get stronger and faster. But as a youngster, they were hard to catch me. So they were always chasing after me.
We're coming up, and we're right in the midst of the Winter Olympic Games going on in Sochi, Russia, as we speak to you, Joetta. When it comes to the Summer Games, you competed in 4 of them. Is there any one that was more special to you?
Well, Doug, the most special one for me was my last one, because my sister Hazel, my sister-in-law Gerald, and my brother JJ coached us all to go 1, 2, 3, and that was the first time a family swept those spots in the 800 meters.
Joetta Clark Diggs, now 38 years old, or will be next month, a 3-time Olympian. And Joetta's younger sister, they call her Peachy, only 22 years old. That's Hazel Clark. There you see Joetta in lane 2, Hazel 3, Gerald Miles Clark in 4, and JJ is JJ Clark, who is the coach. Joetta Clark Diggs, Hazel Clark, and Gerald Miles Clark.
I'll tell you one thing, the last time all three runners for the Olympic team spots were not under 2 minutes was back in 1980. There were 5 under 2 minutes in 1996.
Top 3 finishers make up the U.S. Olympic team. And this is a fair start at 800 meters. They begin in lanes. As they come around that next turn, they will be breaking for the inside. It's the 3 members of the Clark family and Meredith Bauman as they hit the home straightaway. Hazel Clark has the lead. Gerald Miles Clark is second. Meredith Bauman is third. Joetta Clark Diggs is fourth. Top 3 for Sydney. It's Hazel Clark.
You know, Tom, I talked to Joetta, and she said, I don't care what I have to do, I'm going to make this team. If I have to run 156, I'm going to run it. This is my last go around, and I'm going to do everything I possibly can to make this team.
It appears that Joetta Clark Diggs, with a final lunge, made it a 1-2-3 finish for the Clark family.
That was special, and also having my parents alive to be able to witness that. My sister, as you know, is a little bit younger. She's like 16 years younger than me. So I hung around long enough for her to make her first team, and then she made 2 subsequent teams, 2004 and 2008. So that was a special moment for me.
And because there was such an age difference, no real sibling rivalry there either, I would imagine.
Not too much. I was at the end of my career, and she was at the beginning, and we would go back and forth a little bit. We probably only raced maybe 6 times together when you look at where I was in my career and where she was. But it was very inspiring to see her now with the big girls, if you will. And I was able to still be around and run well. And I think that's a testament to me and my coaching. They didn't push me too fast. They brought me around slowly. And I always believed in myself, and I always tell people when I'm speaking, you know, as a motivational speaker, it's all about believing in yourself and trying to get people get the best out of themselves. So when I'm traveling across the country, talking to corporations and college students, I tell them that if you don't believe in yourself, then you lost the battle. You have to believe in yourself, Doug. And I think a lot of times we don't believe in ourselves, so we don't go out and accomplish the dreams and things that are ready out there for us to tackle.
You're getting me fired up as you talk here. You know how to do it. The P, Principles for Success, Life Lessons Learned from Track and Field is your book. And some people feel that it's the perfect book for corporations, not only for young people growing up, but for corporations to use as motivating for their employees. That's quite a nice little tag to that book.
Yes, I wrote the book because for years I've been speaking, and they said, Joetta, when are you going to write a book? And I said, you know what, let me sit down and do this. So the book was very easy for me to write, and you're right. Corporations love the book. They had me come in and speak to their staff, and I'm not sometimes talking about motivating them to do something, but just trying to reinforce. When you speak to CEOs and CFOs of companies, they got it right. So what you have to do is remind them to don't lose focus on what they were doing because they got it right. And then sometimes they have me come in for team empowerment sessions or leadership sessions where they need a speaker to come in. And we go over a seminar and we talk about the piece in the book, have a purpose, get prepared, be patient, get perturbed and persevere. And we have little skits and things that we do with the staff. And they enjoy that. Some corporations buy it for gifts at their dinners. Instead of them giving a calendar or a pen, they give my book away and I autograph my book. So it's been doing very well. And a lot of colleges use the book as well.
You're listening to Sports Jam on WBGO, the Jazz Source. I'm Doug Doyle. My guest tonight is four-time Olympian and one of the newest members of the New Jersey Hall of Fame, Joetta Clark Diggs, whose famous father, Joe, was the Eastside High principal and the subject of the movie Lean on Me, starring Morgan Freeman. Has your daughter seen the movie Lean on Me?
She has.
You will not be bothered in Joe Clark School.
Yes!
These people are incorrigible. And since none of them could graduate anyway, you are all expurgated. You are dismissed. You are out of here forever. I wish you well. Next time, it may be you. If you do no better than they did, next time, it will be you. They said this school was dead, like the cemetery it's built on. But we call our East Side teams ghosts, don't we? And what are ghosts? Ghosts are spirits that rise from the dead. I want you to be my ghost.
And, you know, that's Pop-Pop, my father's Pop-Pop. And she's seen the movie and, you know, you have to understand the lifestyle that she's living. She's been really blessed to have two parents that are able to do a lot for her. But we also try and keep her grounded. She has a famous grandfather, a grandmother who had a business well before women had businesses. She has a mother's a four-time Olympian, so Jackie Jordan Kersee is her friend. She just went to the basketball game last night, Oakland Thunder and the 76ers. Mark Bryant from Columbia High School is a coach there, got his ticket. So she's hanging out with Kevin Durant. We were just over at the Rutgers basketball game with Vivian Stringers. So she just interviewed Buzz Aldrin. So her lifestyle is one that is a little bit different from some kids, but is different, but it's no better than. It's what we're able to do, but she has to understand that. I tell her all the time, you never look down on anybody. You've been blessed to be able to do the things that you do, but it doesn't make you a better person. You're only a better person if you can appreciate the struggles of other people and think of what you can do to help somebody else.
Some people criticize the way your dad ran things, others praised. What conversation did you have with Dad about his approach?
I was in college. But I knew he would do exactly what he did because that's the way he ran the household. So he was not concerned with the bureaucrats. He was concerned with the kids. And his district was a different district than my district was, Columbia High School was back then. But things have come full circle. He wanted security in the schools. A lot of these schools have security guards or alarm systems and things. So he was ahead of the curve. He wanted to have alternative programs in school so the kid that could not go mainstream had an alternative schooling, which they didn't have. So the approach was new. It was different, but it was exactly what he was cut out to do. And that's why he was successful at doing it. And the kids who were not able to stay in the school and the parents that got upset, you know the story. That's something that happens in all districts. But in his district, he just didn't have the support of the board initially, so he had to do things on his own. And he said, Doug, a man in earnest can't be concerned with consequences. So he was not concerned with the outcome from the parents and the board. His concern was with those kids. They get them up to high school level, and hopefully when they left high school, they would be able to do something to become better citizens.
As we mentioned, you went into the New Jersey Hall of Fame with names like the late Whitney Houston. I know you have good taste in music. You just told me that before we started, you saw Stanley Clarke playing in Bethlehem at the Steel Stacks. Yeah. Tell us about your musical taste.
Well, my musical taste started from my mother and father. My mother played the piano, so I played the piano, and my father played the trumpet. And as I got older, I liked jazz. When we saw Stanley Clarke the other day, it was a great performance. I've seen Al Jarreau live, Roberta Flack, I've seen a lot of people live, and I enjoy music. It's a way for you to relax. It makes you feel good, and I can't sing, so I love that, and I cannot play the saxophone. That's why my daughter plays the saxophone, because I can't play it. I always wanted to play the saxophone, so she plays the saxophone. In our family, music is very important, and she enjoys playing the saxophone, and I enjoy listening to her play.
So we finally found out something you can't do.
Well, I can't do it because I haven't tried.
That's it. There you go. I bet you can do it.
If I practice and get some lessons as we gave her, I would be able to try to do that as well, I'm sure.
Knowing that people have an opportunity to meet you, you're a real-life person. You come from New Jersey. People have followed your career through the years. I think that in itself is an inspiration, especially to young women to know, just follow what you've been able to do.
People often ask, do you want your daughter to follow your footsteps? And I listen to them and I think about that. And my answer is yes, because I think I've done some good things. I've been a nice person. And why not follow my footsteps? So when I talk to young girls and I tell them I was once you, and look where I am now. Sometimes I tell them that it's not about being an Olympian. It's about being the champion of your life. Not everyone's going to be a one-time Olympian or a four-time Olympian. But what you have to do is have a solid work ethic and believe in what you're doing.
11-time national champion. When it comes to the Olympics, did medals matter to you?
Yes, of course, they would matter. The goal is to get a medal, and especially when you think that you can. I did not get the gold medal from the Olympic Games. I got the gold medal of life, and I've traveled for free, a college scholarship, no money. My parents didn't pay any money. And most importantly, I got a foundation that I'm able to use now to be in the business world. And so it's so very important for me to look at that. Not everyone's going to get a gold medal, but the medal does not define my career. It lasted for a very long time. And what defines my career is what I'm doing now. And for me to be able to have the Joetta Clark Dick Sports Foundation and give free programs to schools, I have some of the greatest sponsors in New Jersey backing the foundation, from Johnson & Johnson, State Farm, Santa Fe, Horizon NJ Health, United Healthcare. These are some of the sponsors that get behind me and sponsor these programs for these kids, focusing on obesity, life skills, nutrition. We've been doing this for over 12 years, and it's a blessing to be around now because it's so hard to come around to get grant money and to still be able to get the money to do the programs. And a lot of schools are cutting out the gym programs. So we have a fitness challenge. We have a head-to-toe fitness program. And schools can just contact us, if not for the free program. They may not qualify for that. But we also do assembly programs, and they have Municipal Alliance funding for us to come in and do some of the programs for them as well.
Fitness and health, it's something that First Lady Michelle Obama has been a big proponent of. Has she reached out to you to talk to kids? You were doing this long before, you know, she made that one of her passions.
Well, thanks, Doug, for recognizing that. I have been doing it for a very long time, and at this time we have not had contact, but I did speak to Cory Booker, who is now the senator, and he's the chairman of the Let's Move Foundation. So I'd like to have him come and have me be part of that as well.
Take us to maybe one of the darker moments for Joetta Clark Diggs and how you got out of it.
Well, I think from my book, one of the P's that I will use is patient. You have to be patient. I've made four Olympic teams. I tried out six times, which means that I didn't make two of them. So that was very difficult for me to think that I was ready to make a team and to not make the team. And also, you have to remember, when I was competing, it was Eastern Bloc countries, so Czechoslovakia, Yugoslavia, Hungary, and they were winning everything. So my time of 1:59 was nothing because they were running 1:54. So it wasn't until the wall came down in 1989 that I was able to compete with the foreign athletes, because the drugs and steroids changed and the testing got sterner. So now they're running 1:56, 1:57, 1:58, and that's what I'm now running. So I go from not being ranked in the world to being ranked in the world, the top 10, for the last 10 years of my career. So that was a really good thing. So that was a dark side, being that I had to be patient. I didn't want to give up on myself, but I was at the point where I'm not making any money. I'm getting destroyed every time I run against them. What do I do? I enjoyed the sport, Doug, so I stayed there.
Did you know they were doping?
Yeah, you did. You knew that was a big deal. Steroids was that's what they were doing back then, steroids and HGA. So you knew that they were doing it. But athletes are always one step ahead of the curve. And that's why no one was really getting caught back during those time periods.
Did that frustrate you, knowing that they had an advantage over you?
I think at that time, I don't know if I was frustrated because I was so young and I did not know I would be in the sport for a long time. But as I got older and was still in the sport and they were still doing that, I became disheartened a little bit. But because the sport does not define me, I stayed in the sport and tried to get myself better and lower my times, get personal records, see more countries, meet more friends, become a team captain for the USA team, things like that. So I wasn't aligning myself to what someone else was doing. I was taking control of what I can do.
We're speaking with Joetta Clark Diggs here on Sports Jam from the Words Bookstore in Maplewood. Doping and doing drugs, it's not a part of your makeup. When we had Tyson Gay on Sports Jam, it was a month before he actually admitted that he, and I had asked him how important was this for him, and he said he took it seriously. Then a month later, he admitted that there's so much pressure on athletes these days. Do you sympathize, or does it make you angry knowing that someone needs drugs to be at the top of their game?
Well, I'm asked that question all the time, and I don't sympathize, nor am I angry. They have to be in control of their own fate. I think that if someone, you know, wants to do something that's illegal, they may get caught and they may not get caught. But the bottom line is, you can never trick the person in the glass. You may fool the whole world down the pathways of life and get pats on the back as you pass, but your true reward would be heartache and pain if you trick the person in the glass. So, Doug, I tell the young kids, there's no need for trickery. If you can look yourself in the mirror and you can say you're not doing something, then that's good. You can't trick yourself. I'm happy knowing that I didn't do drugs, never was approached to do drugs. And when I speak to youngsters and when I speak to corporate people, I tell them that. And they may ask, well, Joetta, how would we know you're not, you know, you were around for a very long time. You got better when you were older. I tell them this. My personality is such that if I were taking drugs, I would have the world record. I would have a gold medal. There's no need for me to do something and not capitalize on it. So to that point, one, I didn't do that. And two, my integrity. I tell people, you have to have integrity. It's about the ace. Be accountable, have character, and you have to be exceptional at what you're doing.
Take your family out of this question. Who inspires Joetta Clark Diggs?
I guess it's kind of, it may sound corny, but I'm inspired by God because he's given me the talent to do these things. And the better I do with the given talent, the more people I can bless. If I look at another athlete, another person, I'm more inspired by some of the stories you hear about people risking their life to save a stranger. And that's how I look at it. I have my life, and I'm affecting strangers. I'm not risking it in front of a train or a burning car, but I'm trying to touch the lives of others. So when I see stories like that, that inspires me that if a stranger can go and help another stranger, then I can do the same thing.
Running the 800 and 1500 meters, there's a lot of time to think. What went through the mind? Especially maybe, you know, the bigger races. What went through your mind? How do you handle that?
Well, I think that when you get into the race itself, you're not thinking about the outcome. You're working on strategies and things like that. The thinking process comes in practice. And the thinking process comes on your long distance runs. So when you are in a race situation, it's like an automatic pilot. It's just there. When I'm speaking, I think about what I'm going to say prior to the event, and then it just comes out because I'm prepared. So I don't really think too much about the strategy. The races change, the dynamics change, the competition changes. But one thing that doesn't change is that you have to work hard and that you have to be prepared. And so be it sports, be it my business, I am prepared all the time. Because you never have a second chance to make a first impression. So that first impression, Doug, must be a lasting impression. And that's what I try to convey.
I was always touched by when Mark Spitz came to the area and all these parents thought their kids were going to be Olympic swimmers. People who want to have their daughters be Olympic runners or be successful. That's a long haul. What do you tell parents, and what would you tell a young kid who might want to be the next Joetta Clark Diggs?
You never shatter the hope of a youngster. And if they want to be an Olympian, if they want to be a basketball player, whatever their sights are, they want to be an astronaut or a teacher, don't discourage them. However, you have to plant the seeds for them to do that. So if you have someone that's academically sound or athletically sound, there's certain stages and steps you have to take. Competitions. You have to make sure they're eating right. You have to travel them back and forth. You have to have the right equipment. But the one thing that you must let them know is that mentally they have to be tough and they have to be up for the challenge. They may not win every time, but you're only a loser if you fail to get back in there and compete. So when I'm speaking and, you know, promoting this book, that's what I'm trying to do. This is my first book. I have another book that I'm working on, a children's book that should be coming out soon. So you have me come back on to talk about that. But I am never going to stop. The brand, the Joetta Clark Diggs brand, is a brand of integrity, a brand to help other people, a brand of sports, a brand of business. And it's a brand unique because I am a Jersey girl. I'm an Olympian. I'm a Hall of Famer. But I am a person that cares about other people. So I'm always doing promotions. Like right now, we're running a promotion for speaking. So if you go to the website or if you mention the radio station, you can get a discount on the speaking engagement at your company or at your school. And that's a good thing to know because people, you know, they say, well, we can't afford this, we can't afford that. We have promotions for you all the time. So check out the website, which is JoettaSportsAndBeyond.com. And that's sports with the S on the front and back. And we have all the promotions that we're doing, all the events that I'm doing. And I think that as long as I have breath in my body, I will continue to try to make a difference, not only in my life, but in the lives of others.
Best moment of your career, just a single moment.
The best moment of my career, Doug, would be, geez. My athletic career, I think in 1989, when I beat the East Germans at the time, they came to the Muros Games, and I was the defending champion. And no one had ever beaten the East Germans. And the Daily News said that the East Germans are coming, and Joetta would have a hard time defending her title. I went out that night, I beat them by a second, and I set a meet record in doing that. So that was a big moment for me that everyone thought that I could not beat these Germans because they had just won the gold and silver in the Olympic Games in Korea in 88. So that was a special moment for me athletically.
What means more to you, competing and inspiring people, but the work you do now is so important?
I think the work through the Joetta Clark Day Sports Foundation and my company, Joetta Sports and Beyond, is very important, and I have a passion for that. So that is where my energy is now. I was the commissioner at the New Jersey Sports and Exposition Authority many years ago, so I understand how this billion-dollar industry works. So for me to be able to give scholarships, you know, we have given over $30,000 of scholarship money to students since the inception of the foundation. We speak to over 10,000 kids a year through the foundation. I have kids coming back, and they want to be part of the foundation. They want to work my camps. So I look at what I'm doing now, and it inspires me because I see that people got it. They didn't get it then. It took a little while, but they got it because they're making donations. They're being part of what we're doing. We have a really big sports extravaganza that we sell out every year. We bring in Olympians, and people come up to this black tie event. So they are rallying behind the foundation and the work that we do. But we can always use more funding. We can always use more grants. And that is what we need to be able to do more programs throughout this great state of New Jersey. So as I go up and down speaking and being on great shows and such as yours, I can't not leave out the fact that we need funding, we need support, and there's ways to make donations because the money goes to help the youth, and the youth need help. We can't give up on them because we were all once one of them, and no one gave up on us.
Joetta Clark Diggs has P, Principles for Success, Life Lessons from Track and Field, her new book. And as she mentioned, she'll be coming out with a children's book soon. So we're here at the Words Bookstore in Maplewood. You inspire not only others, but, you know, just sitting here and talking to you, you're such an inspiration to everyone who's listening right now and to this man who needs to get a little more fit, I think, too. But Joetta Clark Diggs, thanks so much for joining us on Sports Jam.
I enjoyed it. Thanks. Thank you. And I want to come back again.
Sports Jam is a WBGO News production celebrating more than 350 episodes since 2008. You can check out all the shows by going to WBGO.org/SportsJam or find Sports Jam with Doug Doyle on iTunes and on the NPR list of podcasts. Until our next Sports Jam session, I'll see you at the game.